Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery, the rector of the parish. I'll be leading the service of the word today. We have all kinds of musicians joining us. Steve Hollowitz, our music director, along with four singers, Jack Seislin, Paul Grambo, Katie Clark, and Victoria Piovison. As always, at the soundboard is John Gardy. Let's just take a moment on this Thanksgiving weekend to take a deep breath, to give thanks, and come together in worship. Almighty God, in our baptism, you adopted us for your own. Quicken, we pray, your Spirit within us, that we, being renewed both in body and mind, may worship you in sincerity and truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Reading from the Gospel according to Mark. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There is so much in this reading, so much that just slides right on through. We don't stop to wonder what Jesus meant when he said to the young man, "Why do you call me good?" We don't stop to think about why the disciples were perplexed at his words. We don't stop to think about, what's this thing about easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? We don't stop to think about, what does it mean that if it's not possible for mortals, that it is possible for God? We don't stop to think about the self-centeredness of Peter, who says, "Hey, look at all we gave up for you." And Jesus then adds in that all the things they're going to get in this world will be with persecutions, but also in the age to come, eternal life. We don't stop to think about, what does it mean? The first will be last, and the last will be first. One more thing we don't stop to think about. Jesus looked at the young man and loved him. No explanation, just tossed in there. We don't pay any attention to it. We just roll right on through. This is a very complex story, which we try to make very uncomplex and make it all about money. And probably we just kind of mutter under our breath, "Well, probably if I was the rich man, I would have just left too." Because it's so complicated, I want to take a very simple approach to how I unpack this for you. What would your answer be to this question? Now, it might not be money that Jesus asks you to give up. It might be prestige. Might be to give up a comfortable pew. Might be to ask you to do something more. To help the homeless. To help those with mental illness. To take care of the planet. There's no better time than a Thanksgiving weekend to stop and think that Jesus could really ask this question of each of us. And we would probably start just as the young man did in this story, telling God what we've done for God. And then God would say, but. Do we turn off our listening skills then? Are we willing to hear God's but? I've always wondered what it would be like to walk with this young man, a wealthy young man of great status, to walk with him for a week or two after this conversation. Now, I'm fully aware that there probably never was a conversation between Jesus and this young man in that sense. This is a symbolic question designed to tell a story, designed as everything Jesus ever said to make everybody think. But let's say there was an actual conversation that went very similar to what Mark has described here. Do you think the young man just walked away and never thought about it? Or do you think he went home and said, maybe I give up half. Maybe I could go back and ask the teacher if he really meant everything. Maybe I could keep my house or keep my business. Or keep that special something that I like to have, or keep my golf club membership, or keep my boat, or whatever, all kinds of things. What do you think he would do? Do you think he just walked away and never thought about it again? You probably know where I'm going with this. We've just heard Jesus ask us that question and give us that direction. After we have told Jesus in our prayer and our worship this day all the things we have done, he says, good, now I want you to go and do this. You can figure out what it is for you. So what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Okay, I'll share what I'm going to do. Maybe that'll help you figure out what you're going to do. Probably the next time I go out for a walk, I'm going to spend that entire time trying to figure out what God might be asking of me. And I'm going to try not to just let it go. If I can't figure it out the first time I pray, I'm going to ask the next time and try again and again and again and again and again. And that's what the Christian faith is. We never get there. Because the road that is the Christian faith is one that goes on and on and on and on and is constantly changing. A world that constantly calls us to see what is changing around us and adapt and go forward and learn and repeat and adapt and go forward and return and repeat and adapt and go forward and repeat. That's what it is to be a person of faith. At least for me. I have no illusions about what I bring to the table. Mostly, exactly like Peter, my own self-sufficiency, telling God what I can do for God, what I've given up to be in this position, just being honest. But sometimes God asks you for the one thing that you can't give. That's what this story points to. The rich young man was invested in his money, in his wealth. And he couldn't give it up, at least not right now. But he may have down the road. So what is it that we're invested in that we're not willing to give up? Because I think that we are invested in is always that which God wants to talk to us about. Not wanting to take it away, not trying to put us on a totally different path, but to help us to understand that what we think are our strengths might not be our strengths. This is a call from Jesus to ask us to not do the same old, to think about very deeply what gets in the road of our faith, what human trappings are holding us from being a servant of God. I'm under no delusions of thinking that this is an easy question. This is very difficult. And if you're like me, you'll do everything you can to avoid the conversation as long as you can. But the question will still be asked. This is a weekend of Thanksgiving, of celebration, of family, and all those great things. But there are many people in our community who are not having a celebration, who are in difficult places. Do we just go on with our lives? Or are we constantly called to try and make this world a better place? I try to listen. Sometimes I talk far too much and listen way too little. But I think we all need to listen and to hear the deep question that Jesus asks us today. Amen. Let us give thanks to God our Father always and for everything, saying, "We thank you, Lord, for the beauty and wonder of creation. We thank you, Lord, for all that is gracious in the lives of men and women, revealing the image of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for our daily food, for our homes and families and friends. We thank you, Lord, for minds to think and hearts to love. We thank you, Lord, for health, strength, and skill to work, and for leisure to rest and play. We thank you, Lord, for those who are brave and courageous, patient in suffering, and faithful in adversity. We thank you, Lord, for all who pursue peace, justice, and truth. We thank you, Lord. What do you give thanks for this day? Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us this day, this Thanksgiving time, and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.